is a production of Locked Up Sports.
Everybody, this is Don LaGreca from the Michael Kay Show. When it comes to talking sports, Bob Walters and Brett Grasso are the authority.
Can't wait.
When it comes to talking sports, they're the authority. It's Bob Walters and Brett Grasso. It's Locked Up Sports, and it starts now.
Bring them out, bring them out, hey. Bring them out, bring them out, yeah. Bring them out, bring them out, hey. Bring them out.
Here we go. Bob Walters, Brett Grasso from the Brian Gunzel Studios. This is Locked Up Sports. The Mets go for three in a row. The Yankees lose opening day. Knicks without Randall. And the Final Four is here tonight. Brett, what's up? Welcome to the show. How's it going? Welcome
back, Brett. On. How are we doing?
It's good. I still got this music in my ear, but
there it goes. There it goes. I knew it was about to come in.
So what's up? Where you been?
Like, me?
I almost forgot you were on the show.
Yeah, you know, I was down in Florida for a little bit, hanging out, doing some work down at the house in Florida. And, you know, back in New York, ready for spring. You know, I take a little hiatus after the after the Super Bowl, like all good broadcasters do.
All right, fair.
You know, we get ready, and then all of a sudden, when spring has sprung, and baseball comes out, and all of a sudden it's the Final Four, and we're looking around, and hockey's heating up,
and the Masters.
And basketball's heating up, and there you go, the Masters.
Now, speaking of the Final Four, did you see the women's game last night?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, like, how can you even think about that with the absolute tragedy of the earthquake,
New
York?
Did you feel the earthquake?
Of course. I'm at work. I was working. I'm at the Riverhead Jail. I'm sitting at my desk, and all of a sudden, I think there's a riot.
Did you see? I knew it was an earthquake.
It starts shaking. No, right away it starts shaking, and I'm thinking it's just me. I'm like, whoa! I'm like, this is crazy. And I'm looking around. Nobody's reacting. Everybody's acting like it's just business as usual. I look over, inmates on the wall, dude, not caring at all. And I jump out. I was like, earthquake! Someone, thank God, another person jumps out. Sergeant's like, yo, you saw that, right? You felt it, right? That was an earthquake, right? Yep.
But it's weird that people didn't feel it, right? Because, like, if you felt it, you stood there. The whole thing was shaking. Everything was shaking.
I'd say half of the people noticed. And you know what it is? It's some people are just oblivious. Some people are just straight up oblivious.
Now, like, if you were driving in the car, did you feel it?
No, I don't think so. Like, if you were swimming...
Swimming? What about the subway? You didn't feel it?
Subway? No way. If you're in a moving object, probably not as much.
But there were people I saw like reporters at Yankee Stadium. Some felt it. Some didn't feel it. Like the Yankees were taking batting practice. Whoever it was, just oblivious. Kept taking batting practice. The whole thing shaking. The camera's shaking.
That's just bad. That's just their personality.
It was the biggest one in 250 years.
It's incredible. Like, you know what? It really was. And then you have the aftershock, which I felt also. And I know you got caught.
On air.
You got it on air, which was awesome.
Got it.
It was really, you know.
A viral moment.
I don't know. I'm hoping, I don't know. Do you want to feel more or do you want it to end? Because you don't want a big one. We can't handle a big one.
But you could talk about, like, being a professional broadcaster and taking the time off.
Yeah.
Real professional broadcaster. Made it through a almost 4.0 aftershock, kept going with the show, didn't miss a beat.
Oh, yeah.
Kept it up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm talking about my wife. I'm in the doghouse with my wife because I talked about her going to the
and
tub.
You were at and the place. And was the baby there at the time?
The baby, when we had the first
when
one?
The aftershock.
No, she took the baby. She went to go pick up food.
I was I was like, because you didn't seem like you cared at all.
I was ready to go.
You were like, whatever.
No, listen, it wasn't that bad. There was no damage, right? I mean, they say it was a light earthquake. People from California say they deal with that all the time. I think we just weren't used to it. Everybody was kind of like, "What is it?"
It was just a good time.
Yeah, listen. If you're not in a building, if you're in a field, an earthquake is no threat to anybody. It's just shaking the ground. It's no threat.
Totally agree. It was just you know, a good thing to break up the day. It was. You know what? It was like I was having a little bit. It was a busy day. I was having a rough day. No, it was like really things were going on. Like it was, you know, and all of a sudden like that. No, you know what? all the rest of our cares just went away.
It brings people together.
Everybody looked over. Inmates were like, "You feel that?" Yeah. They're like, "Yeah." They were like, "No, that was so cool. We just
blood and Crips together,
CEOs and nurses." It was amazing.
Oh man! So that's what we got. I mean, you missed that. We had a tanker run, blasted into a bridge in Maryland. Brett, you missed all kinds of stuff here.
The eclipse is coming.
Brett goes, "I got glasses." I said, "What are those 3D glasses?"
Bob, your eyes are not going to be. At least I'm going to have my eyeballs.
Those are the.
You might be able to keep talking on air.
Trump looked into it last time. He still can see. He can still see now.
Yeah,
so God. Maybe it's one of them government conspiracies, Brett.
I don't know. It's probably chapter 10 of the Bible.
I can't.
Of the Trump Bible.
I want to see you wear those. Dude, you get them? What'd you get them from? A cereal box or something? Or from the Sable movie
theater? Sable Library.
Sable Library? That's the one they had?
Yeah. And they didn't. Yeah, look. There was one on October 14th.
They're reusing the 2023 clips?
Look, nope. They got both.
Oh, they prepared. They're reusing the glasses.
They prepared. From no, they had both.
Oh, man. So anyway, so now last night we had the women's Final Four. Tonight's the men's. Getting started in a little bit.
Yeah, that women's was, you know.
I thought it was good.
Well, the first half was boring.
Yes.
Pretty boring. And it was all because, you know, they were doing their best to keep Caitlin Clark from having the ball.
And they blow layups and stuff.
Like, let me tell you, UConn blew in the first half. They had their opportunity to jump ahead.
Yeah.
And they were really had their opportunity to make it very hard. It's hard to gain ground in the women's game. So if you're up by like 10.
Now, what does that mean? Because they were down. They were up 12 points. UConn was up 12 points at one point.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. They had to blow it. I'm telling you, Iowa was in the midst of total collapse.
Yeah, they were turning it over every
time
they had it.
I'm sorry, that was an unusual event because that game was as good as over if they just inbounded the ball and crossed half court on three possessions.
Yeah,
it's not a joke. That game was untouchable. That game, they didn't even have to score. They just needed to keep the ball away from them for a few seconds.
UConn in the second half, though, was as bad as Iowa was in the first half.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of evened out.
But it showed you how good Caitlin Clark was by keeping her team in it with, you know, getting the ball to other people late in that first half. And it got Iowa to within striking distance.
And then she started hitting her shots.
You're not going to hold her down. The great players find their way. They at halftime, they go, okay, how are we going to adjust? And let me tell you, she did. And she stepped up.
Because it's not pressure. Everybody's like, oh, the pressure. She's had pressure every game this year. She has everybody watching.
It's just that she's human. You can defend that. You can defend a player in basketball from doing anything. 100%. The problem is that leaves other players open who are good. And these other girls on her team were good. And she got them the ball and they put it in the basket.
She's got to win. She's got to win tomorrow.
And then it all comes down to this really controversial, you know, charge call.
Yeah,
blocking call.
Yeah, it was an illegal screen. An illegal screen.
Yeah.
The girl did move. She kind of leaned into the...
Do you call that late in an important game
I say yes. I call it. It's a foul. A foul is a foul. I see where you're coming from.
You got to let the ball decide the game. You got to be a spot where it's like... And I'll give you... There's like,
but why were they playing for a three? They didn't need a three because it was a screen and it was going
to
be a three.
The girl had a route to the basket too, where she actually could have put it in. But you know, that being said, then it came down to, you know, it was a fun game to watch. I would like to see what the ratings were. It was probably the highest watched women's basketball game in history.
No, it was probably a little bit less. I'd say less than the LSU one last week.
So?
Yeah, I do. I think it was. They had 12 million for the LSU one.
Yeah, and it was bad timing. You know, it's Friday night.
Yeah, exactly. Now tonight, in just about 2 hours, we got the men's. Okay. You got UConn, Bama, and NC State, Purdue. I love NC State. I said early that NC State, that big guy, nobody could stop him. The only person that can stop him is Edie from Purdue. Now, who do you got in these games? Can UConn lose?
No, UConn's winning their game.
UConn has been. Did you see the 30-0 run they had?
Yeah, and that's it. That you're gonna get. It were like they're not going to be off for the whole game. That was them playing at their worst, and it was like you thought it was like, oh, okay, this is going to be a game. And the second half started, and it was nope. Sorry, not even going to give you a chance. No breathing room.
They have led in every single round by 30 points, a minute, at least 30 points. But in every game, they've led it by at least 30 points.
I don't even care who the opponent is. It's like I really just don't think anybody outside of Purdue can compete with them right now.
Now, what do you
that
think
being
about?
Said, I don't even know if Purdue is going to beat NC State.
What do you think about the conspiracy that they screwed, that the NCAA is against UConn? They didn't let
them
travel.
Give me the details. Give me the details on that one, because I saw it, but I didn't see the
delayed
details.
Flights, and it was just a whole bunch of things come together.
The NCAA is the nor'easter?
No, but the NCAA helped them out then afterwards. They got them the flights in coordination with some airlines. They got them there. It took a long time. Listen,
well,
it's
a big step up from 1983 when NC State was making their run. If you have, I just saw the Jimmy V 30 for 30. On his NC State run, and it's unbelievable. Yeah. It was like
where they win on the dunk.
Yeah, yes, but they send them, and they send them to like an hourly pay motel when they go up into the Pacific Northwest for like their first rounds, and they talk about like how ridiculous it was. Whereas, I guess all their issues aren't resolved now.
Well,
now UConn running around.
I'd love to see UConn win. I mean, I'm sorry. I'd love to see NC State win win the whole thing. Right, that would be great. The 11 seed.
The 85. We've seen this. We've seen this in 83. This is the exact repeat of
85. 85 Villanova was the lowest.
No, I'm talking about 83. NC State winning with Valvano. This is this is happening again.
But my point is that
12 seed.
The 85 Villanova is the lowest seed to ever win. They're rooting against it.
Because
I spoke with Chuck Everson, and he was like, I asked him straight up when Butler makes it or one of these teams. He said, no, I'm rooting against him. Because everyone else in America would love to see NC State win, right? They came out at a 10 seed in the ACC tournament. They run through this as an 11 seed.
This is exactly what happened in 83. They were not making the tournament without winning their ACC tournament. And like this is they are just the team of destiny. Unlike the Mets, who I'm watching dropping balls in the outfield.
But they got that kid on the inside, the big bruiser kid. Yeah. Nobody, he's like Shaq.
Yeah.
But how were they so bad in the regular season? That's what I don't get. Like, how were they so bad? And they just clicked because they're not
that's
like a shooting team. They feed him the ball and he goes up and he puts it in.
No, but they even interviewed them after the games and he goes. It's funny because he talked about it as if guys were being a mess, like in terms of like they weren't doing it, like they weren't showing up. You know what it sounded like when whatever his name is that was leading the team. He's talking about it after he goes the guys were. It sounded like they were going out and partying every night. And he was like, it sounded like it was just a total wreck. And they were like, oh, okay. And they weren't doing their part. And they weren't there for practice. And they didn't give a crap about what was happening. And he goes, and now we're taking care of business.
Now they
did. And it was funny because he really was like talking like, and not that they would have that many more wins. But
no, but now they didn't have, this tournament didn't have the Cinderellas. Like there wasn't a whole bunch of them. They had the Kentucky losing their game. And that was really it, right? Yeah. And then all the Cinderellas went out second round. NC State is a Cinderella, right? They're an 11 seed. Now, they're a big-time school, ACC, Power 5 conference.
Yeah, and but it shows you one guy.
Like, a Cinderella?
Look, it's DJ Burns. He's the Cinderella right now. Like, he's unbelievable. Like, that guy, it's just amazing because if you watch it, it's not just a big man. All of a sudden, if you haven't watched, you're going to watch today.
No, he's a big guy.
No, it's not just a big man. It's a guy who can shoot.
No,
he's got range. He's got moves. He's got range.
He's inside. They feed him the ball in the end. He's bigger than everybody. But he's got going up against Purdue. He's got Edie.
I know. It's going to be a different game. Edie is – you know what the difference is? Edie is hungry.
I don't like Edie.
I don't either.
I don't like Purdue, period.
I know, but they've been denied. For years, and now they're there, and it's hard to see when one guy is that determined to go win it, and he really can change the game on his own. And if he does his part and does not get into foul trouble, which is the key to all this stuff, either one of them gets into foul trouble, the other team's going to win. Or if the other guy fouls out, definitely the other team wins.
Now, do you think?
I think that's going to be their hardest game. I think this is the game that Purdue can lose.
I think NC State wins.
I know Connecticut's going to be a tough matchup, but this game Purdue can lose.
But now, what's the best matchup for Monday night? Now, do you want? Because I want to see that. Because Purdue's the best.
What's the best matchup? We
Purdue
should be waiting
and UConn.
It should be Purdue and UConn. But that's not what I want to see.
No, yeah, but do you want to see then NC State win tonight and then go lose by 35 on Monday night? Or do you want to see a good game Monday night with Purdue? And because that's what it's going to be. Or is Alabama, nobody, we haven't even mentioned that. Is Alabama, nobody talking about, going to pull a miracle off and beat UConn tonight?
Yeah, based on history, we should be betting Alabama right now around here. First of all, like that's how we should be doing it. But it's going to be, they go one way or the other. It's either going to be the classic matchup that we've all been waiting for the entire year, or it's going to be the Cinderella story. Either way, you got your story.
Yeah,
and that's either way, people are going to get to go whichever way they want.
The problem in this tournament is with Cinderellas, which I love the Cinderellas, is that when you get to these later rounds, they get killed.
Blow out.
You know, you get these.
It's going to be so painful to watch UConn win by 40.
That's what I'm saying. Like UConn
40.
They had a 30-0 run against the number three.
They would lose to Purdue.
They might lose. Purdue might beat them. But
no, I'm saying UConn would lose to Purdue.
That's what I'm saying.
I know, but I think that what do you want to see? What do you want to see, a 40-point blowout?
No,
I'd love to see NC State go win this game or make it close versus UConn.
I'd love to. I would love to see NC State win the whole thing, because that would be the lowest.
So what are you talking about? Best game to talk about on the lead up? NC State. Best game to watch? Purdue.
Okay. Yeah, okay, fair. That's a fair point. But you only get to talk about it for one day.
Yeah, right? You're right. So there isn't enough time, honestly, for people to even fall in love with this guy after that. If you don't know him by now, DJ Stewart. And if you don't know him by now, Zach Edey. And you know what? UConn's going to beat them all.
So now, as we're sitting here, the Mets are on. Severino's doing up to his old tricks. But although this time, it's not his fault.
There's errors all over the place. Jeff McNeil boots a ball at second base, which causes the guy from second to score.
And
so instead of it being man on third, two outs, it's run scores, one out, man on first.
And who's in left?
And now
Nimmo?
It continues.
Nimmo misplayed the ball, two out.
Nah, I didn't see that one. Is that what it was?
Yeah,
Nimmo?
You said he was dropping the balls out there. You saw it.
Yeah, that was McNeil at first. No, McNeil started.
So the Mets, I mean, listen, Nimmo, the big thing is Nimmo and McNeil, Nimmo and Lindor, they're combined 2 for 46, Brett. 2 for 46. They can't do anything. Nimmo's getting walked every once in a while. How bad is this? I mean, how big was that home run, first of all, by Alonso?
Huge. That was huge. Let me tell you.
Season-saving, right?
It was. I wouldn't put it. It is. It is because you can't get that far behind. The only reason I say it wasn't is because there was nobody in our division that was 7-1 or in that way. Like, honestly, everybody, if you look right now at the standings, like, the Mets aren't that far behind. But if the Braves and Phillies were, you know, 7-1, 7-1, the Mets were 0-8, 0-9, it's so hard to catch up. And even if you do catch up, it's going to come down to missed it by a game or two. Let me tell you, this Mets team needs to get it together fast. They actually have decent pitching. Lowest ERA right now in baseball combined.
Yeah, but look at these batting averages, Brett. Nimmo's 0-48. Lindor's 0-38.
They don't hit.
I can hit 0-38.
Yeah, 100. No. You know what's funny is, no matter what, if you were given the opportunity, you would have the one hit. That's all you would need.
That's all you need.
You'd need the one hit, and you would have gotten the one hit.
But, I mean, come on. With Lindor,
it's almost difficult to only have one hit for Lindor.
Here's the deal with Lindor. Lindor's got to stop being a switch hitter, okay? He can't hit from the left side.
Thank you. We talked about it last year.
He can't hit from the left side.
No.
Come on. He's popping everything up. He's undercutting
his swing. Even worse than that, he takes about 80% of his hacks from the left side.
He takes strike one. Yeah, exactly. He takes strike one every time, so he gets in an 0-1. One hole in every at bat.
Yes.
And like, now the team, the Mets, listen, the pitching staff is not going to be as good as it's been, right?
No, they're not.
So we know that. So they're overachieving. We're lucky that they didn't get blown out. They're losing 1-0 games, and they sent Tonkin down. They optioned him.
Yeah, they got Tehran coming up.
And when,
so they got Tehran coming up, which is at least a little bit of an addition to bolster their arms.
Now, when is JD Martinez coming?
JD Martinez, right now, he went 0 for 4 with a walk down in St. Lucie. What was that, last night? I know you'll see him. They say it's really on his timetable.
Oh,
again, he didn't get his spring training. I don't know why these guys aren't ready at that point and can't just go in.
Why aren't you working?
No, and it doesn't even matter. Like you're not, you can go bat. Like, go get up there and swing the bat. I don't care what happens.
Cages somewhere.
Yeah, no, it's not. Who cares about any of that? Just get up. There's plenty of people. You go play high school ball. They're throwing the ball at 85, and you're hitting the ball. That's batting practice.
Yeah,
I
don't.
The pitching coach is throwing at 98.
But what's he doing? Sitting around eating McDonald's?
I don't know. He's down in St. Lucie right now. It's very nice down there.
No, but I'm saying before he
gets signed. Beautiful. I'm saying it's beautiful down there. He probably just is enjoying his week. He's like, I didn't get my week in the sun. And there's no way I'm going to New York. It's freezing. And you think I'm meeting you guys over in Cincinnati?
And listen, they would.
He's going to be up. He'll be up by next week.
He's not to say he's not Babe Ruth either. You know, it's this team is. Listen,
no, he's a professional hitter though. We need a professional hitter in the middle of our lineup right now to protect Lindor and protect Alonso because they're both horrific. And they're
Nimmo.
No, I'm sorry, Nimmo. Yeah, no, Nimmo.
Alonso's the only bright spot.
But he still needs to protect Alonso. Alonso can be great. You know what I mean? Like, let me tell you, you give somebody that they're forced to pitch to Alonso, or that's a problem. That's a problem for other teams. This lineup is a lineup that should hit, that isn't hitting. There's no way they all don't continue to hit. There is no way Nimmo continues to not hit. There's no way McNeil continues to not hit, at least not at their pace. There's no way Lindor continues to not hit.
Well, McNeil hit a home run yesterday.
That's the worst thing in the world that can ever happen to us.
This manager is a huge mistake. He screwed things up already. Yeah. He doesn't say a word. First of all, the whole thing with Rhys Hoskins, what are you throwing at him? He killed you for 2 days. Yeah. The slide wasn't even dirty. McNeil's got to toughen up, too. Because what are you doing, McNeil?
No, and that's something that needs to be talked about, first of all, is the what's going on with the Mets sliding into things and just walking out of the way and not sliding in and not trying to break up double plays in the right way.
He slid before the bag. He slid through the bag. He held onto the bag. Right. It was completely
straight.
And then
you look at it and you go, oh, my God, they started talking about it. Like, wait, no, the Mets have been told to do that. This is a, like, move of, like, oh, don't just, you know, if you're not going to get there, don't slide into it.
And you know he got those hits because of what happened. McNeil's standing over him. He's doing the crybaby. Like, and if you're going to do something, at least knock him out.
They're saying the same thing. They're like, listen, guys, go win some games, and you guys can do whatever. You're over here complaining. I've seen it a million times. It's guys who had one good season. They think that they're up there on this thing. They think they're on this pedestal of, oh, look, we're a great team because we're expensive. Everybody says we're a great team. No. You have to win for a year, 2 years, 3 years to be considered anything.
They're not a great team.
Listen, they are not. But the players are not great players.
Yeah, but
individually, nobody's playing well outside of Alonso.
Here's another problem I have with the first week. Okay, so the first week, the first night game they had, Diaz came on to hold it in like the ninth inning of that 0-0 game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's maybe 8,000 people because it's freezing, this and that. He comes in, and it's this whole light show that's like, it's almost like the globe thing down in Vegas. They shut all the lights up. The lights are blinking.
They're doing it kind of like they did for the Jets opener.
That's good if you're a good team. Like 2 years ago,
yes,
it was electric. But when there's 8,000 people and you're 20 games under 500, that is a rough. That's embarrassing, Brett. Yeah. That's going to be embarrassing if this team stinks, and you know they're going to do it.
Yeah,
and Diaz looks all right. He got the save last night. He looks all right.
You got the save. Well, yeah, it didn't go well.
You got to get to him.
Yeah.
And Severino, look, Severino now, it's all falling apart here today. Yeah. It's 2-0.
He made
Cincinnati.
It to the second, though.
He's
twice as good as he was last time.
Severino, I don't know why they signed him. I kept saying last year, why they keep running this guy out there? What are you doing? Why keep running him out there? He's giving up 5 runs, 6 runs every first inning. And they even did the weird thing where they had a starter pitch the first inning.
Yeah.
Because they were like, okay, maybe it's just weird.
That was fun.
He went in the second and gave him 5 runs. He's tipping his pitches, obviously. Bob Uslar said that it's confirmed that he was tipping his pitches, but still, like, fix it. And then Ottavino, who feels like he's been on this team for 20 years, right? He comes in, all they're talking about is Ottavino's worked all year about keeping runners close because everybody runs on him because he's slow delivery to the plate. First thing he does, he balks with the bases loaded. Yeah. Like, come on.
Tough. Hey, listen, this team's not going to be fun to watch.
Good. They're not good. It's not a good team. It's not a good team. And we were told that why can't we be the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Yes.
It's not that, though. It's not that. It's not going to be that. And it sucks because you got at least the Rangers and Knicks are good, but this thing could be over by June,
Brett. The rotation. There's no way. You have to realize this is your rotation, as healthy as it's going to be, looking as good as it's going to be.
Well, what about Senga? Senga's going to come back.
I know, but right now it's the beginning of the year. You think that's great when Senga comes back, but do you think that then he has to be healthy for the rest of the year? People are going to get more hurt. They're not going to get healthier from today on. No. I understand Senga is, like, the day he shows up, but it's all downhill. It's about, like, wear and tear. We're in trouble.
It's two guys in the middle of the lineup hitting 0-48 and 0-38.
But honestly, it's going to come down to one thing. How good is our bullpen? If we have a great bullpen, we can be okay.
Bullpen's not great. No bullpens are great.
No, you don't know that. Bullpens, you find out. That's who you find out when you're the Diamondbacks. That's the stuff where you come around and go, wait a minute. Even if you don't have the starters, if you can go win 5-4 ball games where it's 4-3 in whatever inning. I don't care if you're winning or losing 4-3. And it's the sixth. And your bullpen doesn't give up the runs from that point on. Let me tell you, that wasn't a good day. You gave up four runs. Let me tell you.
But
you,
they lose 1-0. They lose 5-0.
No, but you will win 5-4. I'm saying that that is going to be the only chance we have. It's not going to be because we have a 20-game winner. It's not going to be because a guy's going into the seventh on every fifth day, shutting him down with one run. That ain't coming. But there are a lot of possible 5-4 wins or losses. It's going to go both one way or the other, and there's only one thing that's going to change that. Obviously, the offense has to be there, but it's going to be the bullpen. We have the end. We have the guy, if you give me a one-run lead, that we're good. We have the setup men because they were our closers last year.
And I think
they're not our closers anymore. So let me tell you, we have a 7-8-9 right now. We just have not seen it, Bob, because we haven't gotten to the seventh with the lead.
And I think that, I hate to say it, but I think they're going to trade Alonso because they're going to be scared of like the John Tavares thing that the Islanders dealt with, where we'll keep him, we don't trade him, and then he just bounces at the end of the season. And if they trade, like, what do? You're going to trade Alonso, and you're going to watch him go hit 500 home runs for another team.
Let's not even talk about them trading Alonso, because let me tell you, the Mets are going to be in the hunt for a playoff spot. They are not going to trade Alonso. This team is not going to be in the gutter.
No, you just said they're going to be bad.
They're not going to be good, Bob. You can be a mediocre team and make the playoffs now. That is a fact.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm saying they will be in the hunt. They may not make the playoffs.
Well, here's the deal. It's a rough start. I'm saying if
they're on the edge, there is no way management thinks that they're going to keep and maintain a fan base by trading their favorite player. Me and you may not think he's our favorite. He's everybody else's favorite.
He's by far the face of the franchise.
That is why they won't trade him. Not because of the value. Not because of the rest.
Then why not? Then why haven't they signed him yet?
Because they will sign him. He has said everything in this world that he's not leaving here. He has said it repeatedly. And not that he's saying he's signing with the Mets. No, he keeps talking about...
They will say it. Someone puts up a bunch of money.
There's nobody in this world that wants to... I'm not saying that there's a slight chance he could end up on the Yankees. This guy wants to be the Met. He wants to win the World Series with the Mets. The Cohen wants to give him the contract. He will end up getting it. And I'm telling you, the reason that he won't go is because of how bad all the other Boris contracts went last year. That is the reason why I think there was a chance with him leaving if everybody got mega deals.
Well, Soto got a pretty good deal.
Soto is his one and only alone by himself sitting on a planet. And Ohtani. And Ohtani are the only two who have a chance at that happening. And let me tell you, that's not happening again. That's not happening for both of them. Alonso's going to get a huge deal. It's going to be right up there, but it's not going to be a Soto
deal. Give him 5 years. What make him feel good?
Give him big money.
I don't care what they give him. It's not my money. And now, speaking of Ohtani, Ohtani's quickly becoming the most hated man in baseball, okay? Because he clearly lied about this. Here's what happened with the gambling thing, all right? He didn't gamble. What he did was he paid his buddy's debts, right?
Yeah.
Then he threw him right under the bus, saying he stole $4 million. There's still yet to be a report to the police. Somebody steals four. You steal $4 million from me. I'm reporting. He still hasn't reported to the police. So we're waiting on that.
No way. Right? I'm calling my buddy.
So he helped his buddy out.
Japanese mafia.
He helped his buddy out. Now he threw him under the bus.
Yep.
And now
that's not how we handle things in Japan.
And then he hits his first home run. And this lady catches it who has no money, right? She's poor.
No money.
They strong arm him. The Dodgers are like,
You know she lost all her money because her interpreter robbed her?
Two hats, a ball, and a bat. And then they wouldn't even let him meet Ohtani. No. And then Ohtani went and he said he met them. So he's lying about that too. He is quickly becoming the most, like, right on $100,000 check. He's got billions.
No, they came back and they upped their offer, the Dodgers.
Yeah, but it's a garbage offer. It's cash. I want cash.
Experience.
Listen, if you catch one of these ball
what
people,
is the experience?
Just hold on to it. Tell them you're not selling it. Yeah, what's the experience? You know what they're gonna do? Don't go on the grass. Don't go on the
Throw out the first pitch to Ohtani. Accept it?
No. I want
throw out the first and they you sign the ball for the first pitch to Ohtani. What first of all, why is this an important ball? He's hit home runs in the majors already.
It's important to
him. This is what? His 112th home run?
He wants it. He will clearly give you a $100,000 check for it.
What is it
for? Just hold out.
You're telling me his first Dodgers home run matters?
Maybe it matters to him. Right? Maybe it matters
down the road, there's going to be an auction.
No,
and they're going to be like, this was the first home run.
But he's not looking to sell it. Okay, and somebody said 100,000. That's the number.
No, I know. I just
you want it? Give me 100,000. Here's the problem. The problem, Brett. Is MLB now?
He's only making $4 million.
I read. Yeah, done. I don't want to hear it. He's getting plenty
deferred.
Here's the problem. MLB. If the player wants the ball and you're going to play
4% of his salary,
you play hardball like the guy did with the judge ball. Yeah. The judge 60th, 61st. MLB won't authenticate it for you. Now, they do it under the table. It's not widely known, but okay. MLB doesn't authenticate these balls for you, and now you basically just got a baseball that's worth nothing.
It's not true. You have a ball that has a video of you catching it, and you have all that is authentication by someone outside of major leagues, and it will hold up just as you go. I'm telling you, when every authority goes around, is like, yeah, that's
because what the Dodgers did is they separated this lady, the husband, they said he couldn't come, they brought her in the
back.
If
it was that important of a ball, Major League Baseball would have had holograms on the ball, like on their way
exactly, to
set up just for him for that at bat. Doesn't matter that much is the problem. She should have gotten more for it. It's the way Major League Baseball and the Dodgers handled it of trying to obtain that ball by strong-arming her and saying, oh, sorry, we're not going to authenticate that if it's whatever.
But what about him lying? He lied to Netter? What are you doing? Just go meet the damn lady. He doesn't even speak English, really, right? And he doesn't. Listen,
I would also blame that on my interpreter.
I hate Ohtani. I'm sick of it already.
Well,
that's Ohtani.
Why do you think he didn't want anything to do with New York? He wanted to be.
He doesn't talk to anybody. He doesn't talk to the media. I'm done. I'm sick of Ohtani.
That's what he wanted. He wanted away from that. He knew New York. There was no chance of being away from that.
It's a week into the season. He's already getting a gambling
But he is. They talk about him. He is. They say the most secretive guy. And they even talked about it in the way of, like, his Dodgers teammates and everybody else there did not know he even had a girlfriend when he came out and said he got married.
Yeah, but too bad. Too bad. You know what?
No,
too
I'm
bad.
Saying
you're getting all this money, you got to talk to the media.
No, I know what I'm saying. This is his MO now, is he is the guy who is really just, like, going to lie and say whatever he wants to you and be behind closed doors and at the last second might be like, oh, so you don't know what's really going
on. He's making things so much harder for himself because now I'm telling you, he's quickly becoming a big asshole with this. Like, this is a jerk thing to do.
He's
going
to have to, listen, he's going to have to start hitting a lot of home runs.
You got how many? $800 million? You can't give this lady who's got nothing. You want the ball? Give her a check for. Don't give her an on-field experience, especially after you come back and go, listen, here's $100,000, right? That's what people say it's worth. You want it, $100,000. And if you catch these balls, people, hold on to it because they'll pay you eventually.
Jeez,
don't be pressured into nothing. Oh, I hate Ohtani. I'm already sick of Ohtani. I'm already sick of it. I'm so glad he's not in New York because give me a break with that. I'm sick of that, and like the gambling thing. He bails his friends out, and then he throws them under the bus. If somebody steals $4 million, you call the police, right?
Nope.
Well, there's no police report?
No way. That's you defend.
We're still waiting.
You defend your friend's honor.
Give me a break with Ohtani. Give me a break with it.
No, different rules, Bob.
Now the
different rules. You don't understand.
You know, Tom Selleck with Mr. 3000 wouldn't have done that over there.
No way. He was so disrespectful. The first half of that movie. So disrespectful, that whole first half. It was just, even to the girl.
I mean,
he wasn't nice to the lady either.
But he got the lady in the end?
No, the second half, he did. He started, you know, adopting their customs and fitting in with the guys and, you know, really accepted the culture. He really got into the culture. And at that point, you know what happened? He started playing good baseball, Bob.
Yeah, Ohtani's not in our culture. I guess he is. He's being greedy. But he's having other people go fight his fights. I'm done with Ohtani. Now, the Yankees start here because I thought the Yankees would get off to a bad start, right? They had Houston on the road, and then they went to where the Diamondbacks, the pennant winners, and they blew through everybody.
Yeah.
They were 6-1. They come home yesterday. Stroman pitches well yesterday.
He did pitch well. He pitched well the first two starts. He's pitched well.
He's pitched well. I know. And I didn't think he was going to pitch well.
No, this is the thing.
And we got Severino.
No, I'll give you this, though, Reddy. You know how Stroman had a good outing yesterday. This is what I think my least favorite thing about Stroman, and people don't understand. Ready? So Stroman has a good outing. The Yankees lose. I can tell you right now, Stroman is at home happy. That's the thing I don't like about Stroman. He's the guy. I'm telling you right now, I'm not saying in the playoffs and later that wouldn't be like, oh, my God, we got to win or whatever. But he only cares about one thing, how he did today.
Yeah, and Strowman,
I'm telling you, that is all he cares about. It's my least favorite thing. I'd see it
Strowman's
with him
the guy
in the after-game interviews, and he kept talking about himself, and they'd be like, listen, but you guys lost the game. Like, yeah, but did you see how well, and things went so well.
Strowman's the guy that comes to the party. He's the life of the party.
Yes.
But when he leaves, but he does something really stupid before the end of the party, he's not welcome back.
You know,
because anywhere he's been, he's not welcome back. I'm right?
not.
Mets, he's not welcome back.
I really don't. The Yankees have no bearing on how many games they win. Have no bearing on the Mets. Okay. So I am not a Yankee hater. I don't care. I don't care how many games they win.
Nobody
I don't
plays
care.
The race card.
I don't know. I don't care how many games they lose. I hope they lose every single start Strowman has.
Yeah,
I don't like him. I've said it in the past.
He had no reason to not like him except for the Mets that he did.
I've seen the stuff in the Instagram behind the story. I've seen how he acts. I've seen what he's said about people. He put a bad taste in my mouth. I'm sorry for Yankee fans. I hope you guys win 90 games, and I hope Strowman goes 0-20. I don't, you know.
Good for him. Listen,
I know.
They lost yesterday.
I think
they couldn't get any hits. Soto. No, because the Soto thing bothers me, too. He's throwing guys out at the plate. He's hitting big home runs.
This is what's going to happen. Be very careful. If the Yankees go on to have something, like, really over 100 wins. So put it this way. If the Yankees go and win 103, 104, 105 ball games, which is crazy. Like, that's a lot of ball games to win. And Soto has a monster year, and they go on to win, and I'm not saying the World Series, but go on to win multiple playoff series to get them possibly into the World Series and even say a loss.
He stays?
Even if he loves what happened, if he loves the experience, and there wasn't some big downtime where he was controversial or had a big slump or caused a major problem where or teammates didn't do whatever, he's going to want to stay because they're going to give him just as much money as the Mets.
That's what I'm saying, though. Cohen could give him more.
Not by that much.
Yeah,
not by that much.
Give him whatever you want.
No, you think so. But let me tell you, the Yankees are going to pony up big numbers. And the problem is the Yankees and the Mets are, honestly, they're probably going to have to be chasing someone else who decides to throw this monster number at him also. So it's going to be like a three-team race somewhere. And it's going to be come down to, is he just doing what everybody else has done to the Mets and just juicing up his number because he loved his experience? Now, if it goes the other way, and even if they win all these games, but he doesn't like what happens along the way, he doesn't like his role in the clubhouse, he doesn't like upper management, he didn't like where spring training was, if that stuff's negatives to him, there's no amount of money that's going
to
keep him.
They have to win the World Series.
No, then there's no amount of money to keep him. This is his next choice is going to be retirement for him. The next choice is going to be.
Oh, he's got one more contract. Yeah,
what solidifies where he's going to be? If he's not having fun in New York, and I'm talking with the Yankees this year, but the other end is if the Mets are really bad and he gets to see a front row seat to the Yankees versus Mets debacle, who's really on top in this town?
Yeah, but it does.
That's going to be a very easy in the plus column for the Yankees.
Yankees. But why are you like this? Because everything else you're like, oh, the money.
Because it's going to be the same. No, I've learned this year that, and I know the Mets will throw a monstrous number out there.
$10 million.
They give
an extra $10 million? That's $10 million.
I don't think there's anybody that won't pony up the 10 if the Mets go there. I'm telling you, I don't think there's a limit on this one.
Now,
I don't think there's a limit on the Yankees and the Mets for this one. And so there's going to be a limit that they get to. And it's going to be a choice of where do I want to be for the same number. It could be, I don't even know what the numbers we're talking about. But if it's going to be 820 or 860.
You're looking at like 8 years or like 600
million. It ain't going to be 800 to 900.
Maybe I'm willing. If it's 100 million, he's coming.
That's what I'm saying is I don't see that coming. I think that levels out at like, oh, it's going to be 800 or 850.
Now, does he
and the other team goes, I'll pony up to 50.
Does he have a big year? Does he over under 40 and a half home runs?
He hits 40. 40, so right 44, maybe.
You think he'll have 44? I think he's
just
good
because
too.
Of the right field wall and all that.
And he looks like he's having fun. He threw the guy. The opening day was just a kick in the chest.
Looking at it like they're winning all these games. It's got to keep going that way. And people get hurt and pitching problems. You know what I'm saying?
They put LaWisica on the 60-day IL just today. So they have pitching problems already. They got Cole is out.
Yes, but they have. Listen, when you look at like Anthony Volpe and guys like that if they start batting and actually hitting this year, That's a deadly team.
Yeah,
the
team
team underperformed last year. Like, and they should have played even better than they were.
They missed the playoffs. They were 82.
I know, but these guys aren't. You know, it's the same concept as like the Mets. And there's Beatty with a hit down the line.
Yeah, he's finally, yo, baby, he's coming into his own because he was disappointing up until this.
No, I know, but I really do believe like if it's a good experience, Soto's gonna the scales will be tipped in the Yankees' favor because those numbers aren't going to be enough for someone to say sure or no or whatever. But
the Orioles are good though, Brett. The Orioles are better.
No, and the Blue Jays and the Devil Rays are all Devil Rays, no. And the Rays are always they're always not awful. And I look, right. They're in last place right now. I think they've only won a couple games, but I'm saying that division is the most deadly division in baseball.
Yes, but the Rays last year they built themselves off of that 14. Remember they started the season with 14 straight wins or something,
right?
Then they just kind of coasted on that because they didn't play very good after that.
Well, right,
like then, 500.
Well, you know, when one of your best players decides to go allegedly rape a 14-year-old girl,
it's a difficult
mountain to climb.
He's in big trouble. He's in big trouble for that. So you'll never even hear from him again.
Well, no, there's a trial. If he's found not guilty, we don't know what happens next.
Yeah. Well, what about Trevor Bauer?
No, he had no trial. Now I'm telling you, there's going to be a trial, and if this thing goes not guilty, there's a lot of teams around baseball that are going to have an option.
So now the winter sports. Rangers, Knicks, coming into playoffs now. The Rangers, listen, Rangers are good. We're going to put that aside for a minute.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah.
The Islanders are
Rangers are
right
on
there.
A holding pattern for are you going to do this in the playoffs? Like, let's see how that goes. We know where we're going with
the Knicks.
The Knicks are in a different spot,
It's a shame, though, because Randall, now we've been waiting for Randall to come back. Now he's out. It's confirmed he's out for the rest of the season. You're not going to see him again. How far this team now it's lost, right? Is it a lost cause?
You know what's tough? Listen, the team that got into the position they're in, I understand they've lost, what is it now, 3 out of 4? Something like that.
They lost 3 out of 4.
They've gotten into, and let me tell you, I was watching them in a game where they took sole possession of the 3 spot.
Yes, and they took,
no, and that's what I'm saying is then they lost 3 of 4. But the same team, the team who got into the 3 spot, whether or not they end up in the 4 spot or end up in the 5 spot.
No, they have to be the 4, I think. No. Otherwise, they're going to be in trouble.
No,
in the first round.
You're 100% right. But this team, it wasn't Randall's team who got them there.
It's Brunson, but Randall was important because Randall and OG got there,
he's been out a long time. He's been out a long time. And honestly, some of their best basketball was honestly after he got hurt. Now, OG is back. He's been back for one game. They camped up within, 5 points of the Bulls. He's back. He is back. He played.
He's got 5 games now to get it together.
But that's what they were holding it out for. They go, listen, okay, we know we don't have, we don't know how long he's going to hold up for, but that's why they held him out that other week in between. It's not going to be good. They need to, listen, the guys who they brought on, they're going to rely heavily on them. When they look at Bogdanovich, is going to have to actually start hitting some threes in the corner.
Josh Hart,
Josh Hart's a huge deal. DiVincenzo is all of a sudden has become their number 2 scorer on this team.
The question is
Hartenstein's been getting hurt. Mitchell Robinson cost them a game by hobbling around.
But are these guys regular season? Is this a regular season team that's good? It's different when you get in the playoffs. It's different. Different basketball, tighter defense.
Do you know what the difference is? In the regular season, they've had to limit Brunson's minutes and days, and they've had to give him those days off. And you know what's happened is every time they took Brunson out in that third quarter or early in the fourth quarter to get him rest, the Knicks would be up by 5 or 7, and they'd be down by 2 by the time he came in.
Now, Brunson,
the plus-minus number on Brunson when he's in the game. Now, the difference is in the playoffs, they're going to play all those minutes. Josh Hart's planning to play all those minutes. DiVincenzo is going to be in there for all those minutes. Hartenstein, if his, he can hold up, he's going to be in there for a lot more.
Yeah, but is Hartenstein and Hart, how far can Brunson's going to be a second team All-NBA? There's nothing wrong. People argue first team, but I don't think he is.
This way,
that's a top 10 player in the league. How far can Brunson take the Knicks?
Take them as far as those assists he gives out are hit. When he passes that ball, the other guys, who is going to be the guy who steps up? if you all of a sudden have Bogdanovich hitting his threes.
But Bogdanovich is not going to be a star in the playoffs.
He's not, but Brunson, if it's only Brunson and they just have to guard Brunson, the other guys can't go blank. It can't be off the rim every time because that's what happens with these teams. If DiVincenzo comes up and plays the way he has been playing and Josh Hart is actually playing the way they have a shot versus any team on any given night.
They don't have a shot. No, without, because if you remember, it was only like 2 weeks, but if you remember where Randall, Brunson, and OG together, they looked like a real basketball team, a good basketball team. They're a real basketball team now, the way they are now. It's different in the playoffs, but it's not the regular season. Bogdanovich is not going to carry you if Brunson shuts down and has a bad game.
It's not about that. It's about when Brunson sits for a few minutes and the second team comes out. Can they keep it even and not lose points? I'm not talking about them blowing people away.
No, I'm not either.
There needs to be someone scoring and playing a little bit of defense. They've lost so much defense without OG, so getting that back is a huge deal. They win that game. Let me tell you, when they lose on the buzzer beater the other night on the game where it should have been an and one for Brunson, if it's OG out there defending him, there's no. It's not saying that SGP makes that shot.
Here's what it is. I think this team without Randall is a fun, good team. Fun team, right? Brunson, everything. It's not a playoff. It's not a team that goes deep in the playoffs. It's just not.
But
it's
will be. No, they're not supposed to.
Because you forgot how good Randall is.
I really don't. I don't. But I know that I expected them to totally flounder and fall apart after he was gone. And where were they going to go? I'm telling you, I did not expect them to play as well as they are.
They could still be the sixth seed. Right? They could still lose five, four games and be a sixth seed. That's falling apart.
If these last, let me tell you, they blew it at the end of two of these last four losses. If they went and won those games, which are, I'm talking by one shot, they had
Randall.
It.
Randall.
No, you're 100% right. If those games get flip-flopped, we're in a different conversation right now of the Knicks being, you know, they've been winning, right? I'm telling you, it's been a bad week, and we're talking about a bad week right now. Are they going to hold up versus these other teams? If everybody stays healthy, they have a shot to stay in every game. They're not going to get blown out. Outside of the Celtics,
I think
they're going to stay in most games, but I don't know if they have enough firepower to win in the last minute.
I think if they're the five seed or lower, they lose in the first round because they're going to have to go on the road. They could very easily lose two to Magic, come home, and now you're down 0-2 coming to the Garden. If you're the four seed, you get 1-2 at the Garden, and you get a little lead and a little cushion.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a very, very rough road. They have to stay in that four seed, 100%.
And it's right there. It's like two games between the four and the six.
And the six,
The six, you're screwed. Because now you got to go play like Milwaukee or something.
Forget it.
It's over.
The one good part is you go play the hardest team. If you actually got through them, you would be in a good spot.
Yes, no, because you get beat up for 2 weeks.
No, you're in trouble.
Seven games, you're in trouble.
You have to get in the fourth spot to have any shot at, you know, playing somebody that you can go win in the first round.
That's the problem with the playoffs, too. You want something nice and easy in the first round, right? Because it's a whole other season. They play this thing for two more months. Same thing with the NHL. You get beat up. Rangers... A couple years ago when they beat Pittsburgh, they went seven games, beat each other up. It costs them later in the playoffs because you got to have some kind of easy series.
If you look back, the Mets are getting on the board. But if you look back at the Knicks, they're not getting blown out. They're going to be in any game on any given night.
Yeah, I got a question for you. If you put UConn in the play-in tournament, do they win it?
No. 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 No, not even close.
Because you thought Georgia was
different. Totally different. No way.
If you can win these next two games, tonight and tomorrow and Monday, by 30 points, can they win a game in the play-in?
Not in the play-in. No, they're not. They probably wouldn't win a game versus the Pistons.
It's a complete flip-flop then.
I don't believe that in basketball. I think that's all credibility.
You know what it is?
There's so few guys that make it to the NBA. You think about the percentages of how many guys, you know how many guys on those college squads make it? Nobody.
Nobody, nobody.
Nobody. So if you're in the NBA,
there's only 12 people on an NBA team.
If you're the 12th guy on the worst squad, you can hoop against anybody in this world and show them up.
Yeah, I agree.
That is not the same for the other sports.
But yeah, you think Georgia against the Texans would be a toss-up a couple years ago.
Not now.
Well, not now.
And let me tell you, all those games have to do with one thing. if your front five are as big as their front five.
Which they're not.
But if you have, if you put them up versus the worst versus like you me the best, it's going to at least be like somewhere in between where you have a little bit of a game. But no, no, I don't believe it.
All right, all right. So, so final four tonight, Mets 2-2. Mets came back tied at Brent 2-2. Yankees play
I believe in this Mets afternoon. Team. I know Bob, we talked about earlier. I don't believe in them. No, Bob doesn't, and I'm going to tell you, I believe in this Mets team. I think their starting pitching is going to be awful. I think they're going to be hanging around towards the playoff race. I think when the trade deadline comes around, things happen because we have a whole bunch of extra guys who will never fit on our team.
So you think they got awful starting pitching, but they, you believe in them?
Listen, I told you what's going to have to hold out. It's not going to be starting pitching. Our starting pitching is going to be who's pitching from the fifth on. And we're going to be in ball games from the fifth on.
They got the lead.
And you can say, this is the moment. Mark this moment.
Nemo.
I'm telling you, this is happening because I'm talking about it. This is it. This is the year. No, they really.
So the Mets got the lead, 3-2, 3-2. Final four tonight. Women's final four. Who wins tonight, Brad? Who wins tonight? You got UConn, Bama, yeah. NC State, Purdue. Give me the two winners.
You want it?
Yeah, I want it.
UConn, NC State.
That's what I got. I got the same thing. All right, so we agree on that.
And I'm winning this tournament around here for the Locked Up Sports Bracket if UConn wins it.
I don't even want to get into it with Mark Mancini and everything. I promised
a whole true?
Bunch of stuff. I told him that he wins if UConn wins.
We'll find out.
Told me something different, so we'll find out.
Let's talk, Mark.
For Brent Grasso, everybody, enjoy the basketball tonight. Enjoy the Mets. Enjoy the Yankees losing, hopefully. For Brent Grasso, I'm Bob Walters. See ya.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure to let everyone know by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or on our website at LockedUpSports.net. Remember, you can also find us on your favorite social media site, on Twitter at LockedUpSports, on the gram at Locked_Up_Sports. Join our Facebook group, Locked Up Sports, or on TikTok at Locked Up Sports Show. Now you can catch all the latest from Locked Up Sports anytime. Thanks for listening.